the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out. will shout your praise. Our heart will cry, these bones will sing.
Every night I'll get up in the middle of the night to use the washroom and I'll bump into things because I can't see in the dark. And the song sung about light. And this week I've been thinking about light and darkness in our world, how dark it's become in so many, very many ways. And the Lord reminded me of a scripture in Psalms 119 and 130, the entrance of thy word giveth light and it giveth understanding to the simple. I'll be as simple as God wants me to be if he gives me understanding of his word. All week long, I ride around in my truck. I go to work. I do this. I do that. And I find myself scribbling notes. God, I've said it before, he'll download stuff and give me stuff. I even scribble notes on the front of Casey's menus. You know, it's when God gives you something, you want to hang on to it. The thought, the blessing, the understanding, the light, whatever he gives you, it's going to be good. I saw it on Facebook, I think it was this week. My wife always yells at me, you're on Facebook too much. I used to hate Facebook. But it can be a ministry if you let it be. So I believe that our future is as bright as the promises of God's word gives us. Say it again. I believe that the future is as bright as the promises that God's word gives us. Yes. If you can hang on to that and get a hold of that, wrap your brain around the promises of God, there are thousands and thousands of promises of God.
Right.
And I said last week, to the obedient, and that's what I want to be. This world will tell you there's lots of substitutes on Sunday to do lots of things. For me, the presence of God, there is no substitute. The power of God in my life, I need not to allow the world to try to substitute anything to replace God because they can't do it. And we know that. Though they may try, and I scribbled some more notes down. Do you and I really want God's best? And I've asked myself that many times. Do I really want God's best or just a substitute? Sometimes I don't know and understand what I really need, but God knows and he'll show me. And we serve a mighty God, a wonder-working God, and he'll show us in all his amazing ways how much he really loves us. Do we just get a hold of the promises of God and don't let go? Let's have church, folks.
You may be seated if you'd like. Aren't you thankful for a God that doesn't always see us maybe as we are, sometimes as we see ourselves? And there is nothing that we can do to escape his love. I'm grateful that he said that he died for our sins while we were yet sinners. We didn't have to get it all together. We don't have to get it all together for him to love us, for him to give us his grace and his mercy that we're undeserving of. But he died while we were yet sinners. I am so grateful that his blood covers me. There is nothing I could do, nothing too far. I could I couldn't go too far and run from his love, that he could not find me, that he could not cover me. Thank you, Jesus.
I am clean.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
The ushers can come.
Hallelujah.
I love coming to church.
Amen.
This is the highlight of my week, every week.
All right.
I don't live a boring life to say, but you can't out-top God and coming to church and feeling the presence of the Lord. There's nothing better.
Amazing grace. This is a family love that you would take my place. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
We sing it here in this life, church filled with a body of believers. We sing it in the language that we know. One of these days, over on the other side, the Bible tells me, and they sang a new song. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And this is what they sang. Thou art worthy. How you believe he's worthy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I realize we get just glimpses right now. There's things we peer through a glass darkly, the Bible says. We see shadows, but one of these days we're going to see him as he is. And we're without any hesitation, we are going to say, thou art worthy. Hallelujah. Can you lift your hands? Can you lift your voice? Whatever you feel comfortable doing. Can we show him our appreciation? Can we give acclamation unto him because he's worthy? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to remind you, today's a very big day for us. We have been putting it out there. It's been advertised, promoted. There's many hands that have helped make it happen, or going to help make it happen, I should say. Taking it to the streets, happening this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m. here on the church grounds. There'll be food, fellowship, fun, games. Most importantly, we'll be gathering together for specific prayer concerning our community, those in city government, businesses, those of first responders, fire department, police department. We're going to call out their names and prayer, and we're inviting the community to come. If you did not know of this, you are welcome to come, be a part of it. If you are staying to help set up and you have a responsibility to help us, we are going to provide some food for you. I hope you brought a change of clothes or you live nearby where you can go home and change. It is casual this afternoon from 3 to 6 p.m., but we do ask that you represent the church, obviously. And we ask you to come be a part of it, 3 hours of your day. For many of us, and for others that are a part, it's going to be an all-day event, if you will. But we're looking forward to it. We're thankful that God has opened doors for us and made it possible for us to have this event. And so we encourage you to come be a part of that. Understand we will not have our Understanding the End Time seminar tonight, and we'll move that ahead to next week. Those announcements and others are scrolling on the screen in between services. Hopefully, if you have any questions, we can make you aware. If you have kept up with your Bible reading for the year 2017, why don't you stand right now? This is the first Sunday of the month, and so we acknowledge you staying up with your Bible. Celeste, why don't you help me and pass out this little token? It's just a little piece of bread, a muffin that says thank you for your continuing effort in reading the Word of the Lord. And those of you that are standing, why don't you applaud those that are standing? They have kept up with their Bible reading. If you would pass that out to them, we would certainly appreciate that. It feels so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Are you glad you're here? Can you say amen? God is good. And as she's passing those out to those that are standing, as she's done that, we're going to ask the rest of the congregation to be, well, wait till she's done so she doesn't mistake who's reading and who's not. Hey, Brother and Sister Kellum over here on this side. And after they have received everybody else, would you please stand? Thank you for choosing to be with us this morning to worship with us here at First Apostolic Church. We are so delighted that you have come. We hope that you feel welcome. More importantly, we hope that you feel the power and presence of the Lord. And we thank you for being here. If you wouldn't mind standing at this time and opening your Bibles if you have them. If not, you can focus your attention to the screen. Passage of Scripture that is probably familiar to many of us. I would say probably the passages before where I'm going to read are even more familiar to many others. Mark chapter number 6. Just have a thought that I would hope to be able to impart unto you, encourage you, strengthen you this morning. Mark chapter number 6. I do want to say a big thank you to Sister Davis. This was her vision, taking it to the streets, and she has done a wonderful job in organizing, putting it together. Also for the many hands that have helped in preparation and that will help yet today, thank you so much. It takes us all getting together, putting our hands to the work of the Lord. Mark chapter number 6, begin reading in verse number 42. And they did eat, they did all eat and were filled. They took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did eat of those loaves. They that did eat of those loaves were about 5,000 men. Matthew tells us it was 5,000 men beside women and children. So in other words, there was much more than just 5,000 there at what we commonly call the feeding of the 5,000. And straightway, everybody say immediately, they gathered 12 baskets of fragments. Straightway, the Bible says, he being Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. When he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. When even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them. Everybody say, he saw them. Jesus saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed that it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up into the ship, unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. They were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. Verse number 52 is where I would like to draw your attention. It seems somewhat peculiar that this is mentioned here in Mark chapter 6, verse 52. I've often read it, wondered exactly why it was there. Maybe this morning I can help in that endeavor. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They were sore amazed, the Bible said. Beyond measure, they wondered. Jesus made his way into the boat, walking upon the water, and the wind and the waves ceased. The Bible says the reason why they wondered is because they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. The help of the Lord, this is the title of the message this morning. Consider the bread in the boat. Consider the bread in the boat. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for another awesome opportunity to stand before your precious people and preach your wonderful word. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. God, that we would be strengthened and encouraged. God, enlightened by revelation that comes only by reading your word and seeing your principles and precepts therein. God, enlighten our eyes. God, strengthen us in spirit that we would go from here. God, strengthened in you, encouraged by you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated.
Consider the bread in the boat. Prior to our text is the miracle often referred to as the feeding of the 5,000, wherein with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, Jesus fed a group of 5,000 men, not including women and children. As if the feeding of the multitude with one little lad's lunch wasn't enough, when all the people had eaten their fill, the Bible says that Jesus instructed the disciples to gather the fragments which remained. These fragments, the Bible tells us, totaled 12 baskets. Now, maybe you understand exactly the significance of the 12 baskets. I often wonder, there were 12 disciples, so maybe it was a basket for each of them, each one of them having a basket to carry. We don't really know the significance of the actual 12 baskets, but we do understand that there were 12. And that immediately after, or straightway, the Bible says, after they gathered together these fragments, these baskets that were full of bread and fish, the Bible says that immediately or straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go unto the other side while he, Jesus, sent the multitudes away. The Bible doesn't specifically say it, but it would only stand to reason that Jesus had the disciples collect the fragments in order to take them with him. In other words, the reason why he had them collect the fragments was not just to leave them on the shore, or why would he have had them collect them in the first place, but obviously, and maybe each one of them had their own baskets, for there were 12 baskets and 12 disciples, and maybe, just maybe, each one of them loaded their own basket onto the ship. They realized that this miraculous power of Jesus that they had just witnessed as he, by his hands, the Bible says, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and he blessed and break and he prayed and then he began to distribute. And I don't know how long it took. Probably took a while. Feeding 5,000 men, not including women and children, it probably took some time. And the more time that went on, and the more they looked and they watched Jesus as he just multiplied the bread and the fish, and they must have wondered, when is it going to stop? Is there any end? He's just feeding, everybody's getting their fill, and everybody's licking their fingers, and everybody. They were faint, the Bible says, but now they're full. And then afterwards, Jesus tells them, go gather the fragments. Go pick up what is left over. And I thought about this, and I'm sure it can be preached this way, but I've come to know a kind of Jesus, and when he gets involved in this situation, whatever was brought to the table initially, what's left over when God is done, far exceeds anything we ever brought in the first place. It was just 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and over 5,000 people ate. And at the end, the leftovers, what was left over, far exceeded what the little lad had brought in the first place. We serve that kind of God. He is amazing. He is able to provide. What started as a little boy's lunch ended up feeding thousands to their fill, the Bible says, and 12 baskets of leftovers, then loaded on to the boat. Then the Bible tells us that the disciples are caught in a storm. They cry out in fear. Jesus comes to the boat. The wind and the waves cease, and they were sore amazed. And then we see this verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hard. They considered not the miracle of the loaves. I've often wondered why that verse is there. Why does the Bible specifically point out that the reason why they were sore amazed, the reason why they continued to wonder at Jesus and all that he did, was because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. What was so special about that happening, and why is this said here in Mark 6:52? I begin to think, well, loaves or bread, the Bible lets us know that bread represents the provision of God. Go all the way back into the Old Testament, it was manna that fell from heaven, and Jesus in his teaching said that this was bread from heaven. We understand, we even in the Lord's Prayer, we understand, give us this day our daily bread. We understand that it talks about provision. Jesus, when he was tempted of the devil, he looked at him and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We understand that in a natural sense, that bread gives sustenance, it gives nutrients, it helps us. The staple of bread and water, we understand we can live off of. And Jesus is saying, listen, he even said, I am the bread of life. So we understand that bread represents God's ability to provide. It represents God as the provider, Jehovah Jireh, the one who will give unto us. We understand that when we come and we read the Word of God, the Word itself is exemplified as bread. That's why it is important. That's why on the first Sunday of every month, we do take time to have those that are keeping up with their Bible reading stand, and we give them a little piece of bread. We use the acronym BREAD, Bible Reading Enriches Any Day. We understand that for us, when we read the Word of God, or we interact with the Word of God, when we hear the Word of God preached, or when we hear songs in reference to the Word of God, it spiritually nourishes us. It gives us strength. It gives us understanding. And as I begin to look at this and I begin to understand more about the significance of why the Bible said that they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They're in the midst of the sea and they're toiling and they're rowing. And the Bible says that they fear. They're afraid. These were fishermen, many of them. They were not new to a storm. They were not new to being on rough seas. But evidently, this particular time, it was pretty rough. Evidently, this particular time, they were pretty scared. They wondered for their lives. They wondered, were they going to make it to the other side as Jesus had instructed them to do? Then I began to think about this. I wondered if any of them, and evidently they did not, for the Bible says they considered not the miracle of the loaves. But I thought, why is it that they would think that the Lord would provide one day and then let them perish the next? Why would just the day before they would see his miraculous power? And I thought to myself, maybe it was because he wasn't in the boat with them. Maybe it was because they couldn't physically see him. Maybe it was because that he had sent them on by themselves, and now they were by themselves in the ship and Jesus was not with them. And I wonder if maybe they became faint and they became faithless, if you will, and they began to doubt simply because Jesus wasn't in the boat with them. Then I began to understand this. The Bible says that he saw them toiling and rowing. Jesus went to the mountain, the Bible said, and somehow he was able to see, and he saw that they were toiling and rowing, and that the wind was contrary to them, verse 58. So I began to think about this. Even when I don't see him at work in my life, he still sees me. Even when I don't understand what I'm going through, and maybe even when I'm in the midst of the storm and I'm toiling and I'm rowing and I'm struggling and doubt comes in and fear comes in, and even in the midst of all that, when I don't see him or I don't see him at work in my life, I can still understand and know that he sees me. Even when I look before me and he's not there, and I look behind me and I don't see him there, and I look to the right and he's not there, and on the left, he's not there, but he knows the way that I take. He sees me in the midst of my struggle. And I wonder if it was simply because Jesus wasn't in the boat. And just one day removed from a miracle, they're a mess. Wondering, they're so afraid, what's going to happen? Are we going to perish? I begin to think along these lines. Lord, don't let me become so consumed with the struggles of today that I forget the victories of yesterday. Lord, don't let me become so consumed with my problem that maybe has just cropped up today, or maybe the situation I'm struggling in right now. Lord, don't let me become so consumed with what I'm doing and how I'm toiling that I don't remember that just yesterday your hands broke some bread and your hands multiplied some fish in my life. Lord, don't let me become so consumed with what's going on today that I forget about yesterday. That I forget that you were there, that I forget that you healed my body when I was sick, that I forget you brought me out of that situation. Lord, let me look back on yesterday. I would that one of the disciples would have said, hey, boys, it's going to be all right. The same one that told us to go to the other side is the same one that just yesterday was breaking the bread and multiplying the fish. I wish one of them would have stood up and said, hey, don't worry, fellas. We're going to be all right. The Bible said they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Then it hit me. Then I began to see a little bit more significance. Could it be that while they were struggling, while they were toiling, and while they were fighting the wind that was contrary to them, and while they were wondering if Jesus understood what they were going through and what they were dealing with, I wonder if all they had to do was look beside them to a basket. I wonder if all they had to do was just stop struggling for a moment and look down what lay near their feet and look and see a basket, a fragment that's remained from a miracle that happened yesterday. I wondered if they would have just considered the bread that was already in the boat. I wondered if they would have looked beside them and thought to themselves, well, we're going to make it through this. The reason why I know is there's miracles right here among us. There's miracles right here in the boat. Consider the bread that was in the boat. Consider they were already amongst miracles. There in the boat with them. And here's what you need to understand. Here's what I hope you get out of the message here this morning. That though sometimes I do not see him and I do not understand how he's working, I do recognize that he does see me. But one thing that I can see and one thing that I can understand is the miracles of yesterday. The bread's already in the boat. How God's worked in the past, he can work in the present. How's God provided for me before, he can provide for me right now. Consider the bread. It's already in the boat. Look beside you, saint of God. Look at what God's already done in your life. Don't become discouraged and weary. Don't be full of doubt and become faithless. Consider the bread. It's already in the boat. See, I need to recognize that even today, I'm carrying miracles from yesterday. Even today, the fact that this young man who was introverted and would not even call out for pizza as a teenager is standing before a group of people and preaching the word of God. I got miracles from yesterday that I'm carrying with me today, where God has worked in my life and God has provided me. And though I may be toiling right now, and though I may be struggling with wind that is contrary to me, and though I might not be able to see him, what I can see is the bread that's already in the boat. What I can see is the baskets that surround around my life, where God has multiplied and God has worked in my life and God has done great things. Why don't you clap your hands and applaud the Lord? It's true, I may be in the midst of a great storm. I would that I would stop and consider the bread that's already in the boat. Hey, John, look beside you. I wonder if one of the disciples wouldn't have tapped one of the others and said, hey, boys, there's no need to worry. Look, do you think he would have had us put all these provisions together? You think you would have had us collect all these fragments? Do you think we would have 12 baskets in this boat if he was going to let us perish in this storm? Hey, the same one that provided for us yesterday, he's not going to let us perish now. Like the old song says, I just can't give up now. I've come too far from where I've started from. Nobody told me the road was going to be easy, but I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me. Hey, fellas, we're going to make it to the other side because we got bread in the boat. Consider the bread in the boat. It is the faith that says, He provided yesterday, and He will not let me perish today. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. What are you saying, Pastor? The bread's already in the boat. The evidence of God's work in your life, it's already there. The miracles and whatever you're going through today and whatever you're dealing with right now, all you need to do is look around you. You're living in the midst of the miraculous. Even while you're struggling and even while you're toiling and even while you're rowing against stuff that is contrary with you, why don't you stop just a moment? Why don't you pause and take your focus off the problem and look at the provision that stands beside you and consider the bread that's already in the boat. You are carrying miracles with you. Some of you, if we gave opportunity for you to testify, you could testify of God's work in your life, provision. You could testify where you were at the end of your rope and you didn't know what was going to happen or how it was going to come through, but God made a way when there was no way. Some of you could stand and testify, I serve Jehovah Jireh, the provider, the one who's able. When I was down and out and strung out and when I wasn't able to make it on my own, I realized that God stepped in and He began to multiply and He began to bless. Consider the bread, it's all ready in the boat. The Bible says the reason why they did not consider the miracle of the loaves is because their heart was hard. So soon. Just yesterday, I saw this man feed thousands with one little lunch. It was just yesterday, they themselves went around, collected the fragments that remained. It was just the day before when they saw the miraculous provision and power of God. And already, lest we chide the disciples, lest we look down our noses at them. How often does it happen for us as well? On Sunday, we're in church, and God blesses us, and we hear a word that we know was for us, and we were at the end, and we wondered how, and we needed nourishment, and we were faint in our heart and in our mind, and God fed us from His word, and we feasted on the manna that came from His word, and we were spiritually nourished. But then Monday we wake up and something happens and something occurs on the job scene, and we all of a sudden start thinking, well, I wonder if I'm going to make it out of this. I wonder if I'm really going to go through it. I wonder how it's going to happen. That's us. Just like them. Oh, I know the Lord is here, but I just don't see Him. But what you can see is all you got to do is look back to yesterday. Look back on Sunday when you were getting a blessing from on high and God was putting bread in your life. Hey, consider the bread that's already in the boat. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. When I can't see Him at work in my life right now, and I wonder if I can make it to the other side. I wonder if this storm of life will get the best of me. And I consider, what if He allows me to perish? I would that we would consider the bread that's already in the boat. When tomorrow brings you a circumstance and a situation that you had no idea would befall you, when tomorrow comes, can you look back to today and lift your hands and say, I know He's able. I know why. How do you know? Because I've learned to consider the bread that's already in the boat. I've already
I've learned how to look around to the fragments that surround my life and recognize that He is a miracle-working God. The same God that provided for me yesterday is not going to let me perish today. And the same God that is providing for me today is not going to let me perish tomorrow. I serve a prayer-answering God. The only thing I need to do, I can't let my heart become hardened. I can't have doubt and fear. I've got to consider the bread that's already in the boat. Oh, Lord. Help us when we become weary and faint in our minds. The Bible tells us, consider Him and endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and faint in your own minds. Listen. Same one who was tempted in all points like as are we, yet without sin. Same one that looked the devil and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The same one. How do I become encouraged? How to become uplifted when I'm struggling and when I'm toiling in the midst of the storm? I tell you, consider the bread that's already in the boat. Look back to yesterday if you're struggling today. Find strength from the circumstances He's already brought you out of. Let your mind be strengthened by the miracles you already know have been performed in your life. Consider the bread that's in the boat. These altars are open. Lord, increase my faith. Help thou my unbelief. God, help me to believe. I've been looking at all the provision that surrounds my life, God. A basket that I myself collected from your mighty power and work in my life. Let me consider the bread that's in the boat. I love you, Jesus. I thank you.
So loving and so true, so powerful in all you do, you fill me, you see me, you know my every move.
He didn't provide for you yesterday
for me
to let you perish today.
Sing to you.
Consider the bread that's in the boat.
I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come down, even if to ride upon my
would have just had enough faith to look at the others and say, hey boys, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it to the other side. The reason why I know is I see the bread that's in the boat.
So gracious, so merciful and true, so wonderful in all you do, you fill me.
I'm struggling,
you
Pastor. I'm toiling, I'm working, I'm rolling.
To you.
Seems like any moment the ship is going to capsize. I'm going to go down.
I know that you are for me.
No, friend of mine. Just look at the bread that's already in the boat. Look at the miracles He's already provided in your life.
Never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come down. Even if to ride upon my heart, to remind me of now, even if to ride upon my heart.
Lord, forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me, the heart has become hard and I consider not the miracle, the loaves. Help me to always consider the bread that's in the boat. You're able, God, you're able.
So faithful, so constant, so loving and so
thank
true.
You, Jesus.
So powerful in all you do, you fill me. See me, you know my every move. You love for me to sing to you. Oh, I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my. Ride upon my heart to remind me. I know that you are for me. I know that you are for me. I know that you will never forsake me in my weakness. I know that you have come down.
Help me to consider the bread that's in the boat. Your loved one may be far from God now. They may have wandered their own way. But can I look back to when they came to God? Can I look back and see that God provided back then? He can provide again. Consider the bread that's already in the boat. No, we can't. Spouse, loved one. Maybe it's something you're going through yourself. And you're wondering, can he? It's a song we've sung numerous times. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. The same God. The same one that did it back then will do it now. Consider the bread. It's in the boat. One more time, can we lift our hands all over this place? Lift your voice. God, I love you. I thank you. I worship you. Help me look back over my life, God. All you've brought me through, all you've done in my life. You've been faithful to me, God. You've been faithful to me. Even when I was faint and weary, God, you nourished my soul. When I struggled, God, you were there. Back then, I know you'll be there today. Consider the bread that's in the boat. Oh, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the encouragement, God, we find in Scripture, the stories that we can apply to our own lives, God, to see your work in our midst today. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, God. We pray your blessing upon our activities this afternoon. Touch hearts, God. Help us to be used, God, as ministers, vessels of your choosing, God. We love you, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. For all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord this morning. May go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.